And then one other date. Well, for the last few weeks, we've been talking about this word restored, restored. We've been talking about how Jesus comes into our lives and he brings restoration. How many of you would agree with me this morning that Jesus is just awesome? Amen. He is so good. And not only does Jesus forgive us of our past, but he begins to bring restoration to every area of our lives. And sometimes those changes happen immediately. And those of you who know Christ know what I'm talking about. Some of the changes that Jesus brought to your life, they happened the moment you asked Jesus into your heart. Some of those changes, however, it's a process. And those of us who have been walking with the Lord for a long, long time now in our lives, we're still in that process, right? We're still being restored. But the good news is Jesus is right there. He loves us just the way we are, but he continues to bring important, powerful changes to our lives. So restoration to our hearts, restoration to our thinking, restoration to how we process life, restoration to our marriages, other relationships in our lives, restoration when it comes to maybe habits that need to be broken off of our lives. Jesus comes and he does what he does so well in bringing restoration to our lives. And this morning, we're going to be talking about the important area of Jesus bringing restoration to our sense of purpose. Our sense of purpose. Having purpose in life. You know, when we don't feel like we've got purpose, it can be so disheartening and discouraging. It leaves us so hopeless. And when we don't have a sense of purpose, when we're going through trials in life and we don't see God's purposes in those trials, they just become bigger, right? They become overwhelming. But I want you to know this morning, no matter where you are in your life, Jesus has purpose for your life. There's not a single person here this morning that has a lack of purpose. You might not know what your purpose is. You might not even believe you have purpose. But I want you to know that in Jesus Christ today, there's purpose in every single life. Amen? Now, before we get into this, I want to admit that there are some things that don't seem to have purpose. So I found a few pictures here that illustrate what I mean. There are a few things that just don't have purpose, like a peephole in a door that has a window in it. Doesn't have a lot of purpose. Or that, what's that going to stop, right? Doesn't have a lot of purpose, or this gate's not going to keep anybody out. And then an emergency exit that just goes to the other side of a wall. And we're going to stop on this next one for a minute and talk about that. This is a golf ball, camouflage painted golf ball. Now, I have a hard enough time finding my golf balls as it is. Now you're going to have me go out there and have a camouflage golf ball. And then one more, this one, I guess there's purpose there, but the wrong purpose. So, yeah. Now, as we talk about purpose this morning, we're going to start by talking about a man in the Bible that lost his way in life in terms of purpose. This man's name is Solomon, and Solomon was the son of King David. He was the heir to the throne, became the king of Israel. Solomon was also, in his lifetime, the wealthiest man in the entire world. He was richer than Bill Gates. No joke. In addition to being wealthy, the Bible says he was the wisest man in the entire world. People came from all over the world to listen to Solomon's wisdom. But the most important thing about Solomon was not only was he powerful and wealthy and wise, Solomon also really had a relationship with God. And God was blessing his life. But somewhere along the way, Solomon began to lose his way. And he forgot about the Lord. He started living life for his own purposes. And then later in his life, he writes the book of Ecclesiastes. And he starts off the introduction to the book of Ecclesiastes with these words. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless everything is meaningless. Now, how's that to start your daily devotions with, right? What a great word of encouragement that everything in life is meaningless. Obviously, Solomon somewhere along the way had lost his way because he started so well, but in life, he forgot about the Lord. And when he forgot about the Lord, he forgot about purpose. And then he comes to this conclusion that nothing really matters. My life has no meaning at all. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18 says this. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there's no sense of direction, where there's no word from God, where there's no sense of purpose, people perish. And that's exactly what happened in Solomon's life. He got his eyes off the Lord and confusion set into his life. So this entire book of Ecclesiastes is Solomon looking back and talking about, writing about rather, all the things that he did in life to try to find purpose in his life. And in the end, he discovered that even the wisdom that he had, when he had it without God, even the wisdom that he had wasn't helpful. In fact, all his wisdom did was showed him how bad things were in the world. So Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, I said to myself, look, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to understanding of wisdom and also to madness and folly. But I learned that this too is a chasing after the wind. Even all my knowledge, Solomon says, without God is meaningless. And then he proceeds to talk about how he lived his life and some of the things that he tried. Chapter 2 and verse 3, I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly. So he says, I lived the party life for a while. And then he tried just being successful. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verses 4 through 6, he tries finding purpose and meaning by being successful and accomplishing great things. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. So I did all these great things, and this is such a picture of people that try to find purpose in life through their career, through what they do, only to get to the end of their career and ask themselves, what did I really get done with my life? And then Solomon amassed great wealth for himself. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. So he had all this wealth in his life, but in the end, it was empty. And when you get to the end of the book, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he repeats again, meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. I tried all this stuff. And this is exactly, guys, where this world, the things of this world, that they lead people into things that at the time they seem like, well, maybe this will find fulfillment. I'll find fulfillment in this. Maybe I'll find purpose in this. Maybe this is what I should try. And in the end, without Jesus, it's all so empty, right? And that's exactly where Solomon was. Now, the good news for us today is that because of Jesus, we don't have to go there, amen? We don't have to live lives that are meaningless and without purpose because Jesus comes to bring restoration and life and purpose to our lives. He gives us, when we find Jesus, not only does he forgive us of our past, but he gives us a whole new sense of purpose for our lives, and our purpose is found in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says this. This is a New Living Translation. I like this. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. What a great promise. What a great promise. First of all, I want you to see here in this promise is that your life is not an accident. Your life has purpose because God created you. Did you know that? And I don't know what the circumstances were of your conception and birth, but I will tell you this morning, you're not an accident. God has purpose for your life. You're God's creation. In fact, you're God's masterpiece. I love that word. You might look in the mirror and you might not think to yourself, masterpiece. But I want you to know when God sees you, your life is a masterpiece. because he created you. And as we cooperate with God's design and plan for our lives, he makes us into this beautiful masterpiece that he intended us to be. Your life has purpose so that we can do the good things he planned. Did you know God has a plan for your life? He has a plan for your life. Now, God's plans, they can be mysterious. We don't always understand what they are, and sometimes we do our own thing, but I mean, it's just kind of crazy to think about. Even the wrong turns we've taken in life, God knew ahead of time we were going to take those turns, right? Even when we've gotten off track, God knew ahead of time we were going to get off track. And so God has a way that even when we've taken wrong turns, even when we've gotten off track, God knows those things, and he has a way of working everything together for our good. For our good. Your life is a masterpiece, all right? Bump your neighbor and say, you're a masterpiece. Yeah. Woo! I like it. When Jesus comes into our life, he gives us a purpose to live for, a faith to believe in, a family to belong to, a hope to cling to, and he gives us a destiny to commit to. All week long, I've been praying, God, Sunday morning, my prayer is that you would restore a sense of purpose to every person that's there. That everyone, each and every one of you, no matter where you are in life, no matter what your age is, no matter what your journey's been like, that you would know, that you would know, that you would know in your heart today that God has a purpose for your life. The reason I prayed this is because I know this. I know the devil is a liar. And he wants to rob you of your sense of purpose. He wants to destroy your life any way he can. And if he can get in and convince you that your life doesn't count, your life doesn't matter, God doesn't have purpose for you, you've made too many mistakes for God to use you, these are lies from the enemy, and they will rob you of your purpose in life and joy. The devil's a liar. Just this last week, I contended a little bit with that myself. We had a great week this last week, and Monday night we had this great rally here at the church, great pro-life rally with Governor Mike Huckabee, and what a powerful time it was. And I want to mention this. I was so proud of our church that night. You guys showed up. You served. You were such good hosts. I felt like everybody that walked through the doors would have been so impressed with what they experienced here that night. So give yourselves a hand, all right? Good job. Way to go. And then in the midst of that, we had a great service Wednesday night, and then Friday night, we had this thing planned, this night of worship planned, and come Friday, I've been so excited. I've been so excited about the night of worship, and come Friday, I just felt so discouraged for some reason. I just started thinking, man, no one's going to show up. We just had this big deal Monday night. They're not going to come back Friday night. I mean, this is a basketball night. No one's coming to church. Tim, you made the biggest mistake by planning this night of worship. What did you do this for? And I mean, I'm at home, and you know, part of me is I'm looking forward to the night. The other part of me, I'm feeling so attacked and so discouraged. And then I just recognize, wait a minute, this is just the devil lying to me. And I just began to pray and pray throughout the day for the night. And I'm telling you, Friday night came, and guess what? People came. And we had a great crowd and a great time of worship. And there were several people that were baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was such a powerful, anointed night. And I went home Friday night going, man, that was everything I wanted it to be and more. But before we got there, the devil was trying to discourage me. And I want you to know, God has good things for you in your life. He has good things for you. Don't let the devil rob you of what God has for you. The devil is a liar. A liar. And Jesus brings life and purpose to you. Don't let the devil rob you of what God has for you. Amen? Yeah. Look at this great promise. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 9, and this is Peter here is writing by the anointing of the Holy Spirit about the identity of every Christian, every believer. Peter writes this, "You are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work." Okay? Priestly work is not a profession. It's a Holy Spirit anointing. And every believer is a priest in Jesus Christ. What do I mean by that? Well, a priest's job is to represent the people to God and represent God to the people. That's what priests in the Old Testament did. They represented the people to God when they brought sacrifices, and they represented God to the people. And every one of us as Christians, that's exactly what we do. We represent God to the people that need Jesus, amen? And in prayer, we go before God and we represent the people before God in intercessory prayer. So every one of us has a priestly anointing on our lives. You're the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be holy people. That means set apart and special. Instruments, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you. From nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. You know, a lot of times we feel like, man, I can't talk to people about Jesus because I don't know very much. I don't have the Bible memorized, and I can't get up there like Pastor Tim can and preach sermons. And what if they ask me a question that I can't answer, so I'm just going to keep my mouth shut? Listen, being a witness for Jesus Christ simply means you're telling people what Jesus has done in your life, and every person in this room can do that. We can all do that. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to do that. Every one of us, we can tell other people about Jesus. So no matter what line of work we're in, no matter what we do career-wise, we make it all about Jesus. Amen? And he brings purpose. He brings purpose. It's all about the kingdom of God. And when we make our lives about him, we find purpose in it. Now, Here's the catch. The catch is, if you want to take a hold of God's purposes for your life, you have to let go of the world's purposes. You can't live for the world and live for Jesus. People try it all the time and it doesn't work. People have one foot into the kingdom and one foot out of the kingdom all the time. One foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom, and I'm just here to tell you, it will never work that way. You might as well get both feet in one way or the other. Because you will never find purpose if you're halfway in. If you want to have God's purposes in your life, you've got to let go of all other purposes and decide that your life is all about Jesus. Amen? It's all about Jesus. No matter what you do, it's all about Jesus. Now, this just runs counterculture to the world that we live in, because we live in a world that's all about self, right? It's all about self. It's all about me, 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 me. It's all about self. We live in a world that is so much like that. And when we come to Jesus, we have to make sure that we've made that decision. It's not about me anymore. It's about Jesus, right? We have to stop living for selfish purposes in life. Our world has become so self-centered, so selfish. I can remember a huge thing that happened in 1973. I was 13 years old. And when I was 13 years old, some of you will remember this, when I was 13 years old, 1973, the king of the fast food world was McDonald's, right? Nobody had ever heard of Burger King yet, Jack in the Box. It was all about McDonald's. Anybody remember that? And remember what was their big burger? The Big Mac, right? Anybody remember the jingle? Two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun, right? I mean, that shows you their jingle worked, because 57 and I still have that memorized, right? Crazy. But then in 1973, something cataclysmic happened. I mean, it was a shift in reality. Burger King came along, and they came out with a slogan that went like this: "Have it your way," right? Have it your way, right? You don't want pickles? You don't have to have pickles. You don't want onions? You don't have to have onions. Have it your way. Hold the pickles. Here was their jingle. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Special orders, don't upset us. And it was just a picture of what was, kind of a funny picture, but a picture of what was happening in culture, where culture was becoming about the individual. It's about what I want. And that's how our world has become. It's become about me, and I'm here to tell you, you will never find purpose in your life if it's all about you. We must come to a place where we say, no, it's not about Tim anymore. It's all about Jesus. And when you make your life all about Jesus, it'll be complete, and you will find a sense of purpose in your life. You say you're kind of being kind of hard-nosed about this, Tim. Well, long before I was hard-nosed about it, Jesus was. Jesus said, in Mark chapter 4, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Jesus says, you want to find purpose in life? You gotta stop finding purpose in the world and find your purpose in me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And that's where purpose is, church. That's where purpose is. And then Jesus, when he comes in and we totally surrender to him, he comes to restore purpose to our lives. And I want you to know that's what Jesus has for you. And my prayer this morning is that if you've been letting the devil lie to you and rob you of what God has for you, my prayer is that this morning God is going to restore to you a sense of purpose in your life. Let me talk to all the young moms for a moment. Those of you who are home all day long with your little kids and you work so hard all day long, cleaning up messes, changing diapers, and feeding kids and getting meals ready and cleaning the house. And at the end of the day, you're exhausted, you're tired, and at the same time as you're exhausted and tired, you're also asking yourself, what did I really get done today? Right? Now, I don't know because I've never been a young mom, but I was married to a young mom, and so I know a little bit about it. I want you to know that there is nothing more honorable than raising up God's kids. And you might feel like you didn't get anything done, but that's not how God sees it. There is purpose in what you're doing there. There's purpose in it. Now I want to talk to you seniors. Seniors, all right? And by senior, I mean anybody older than me. I'm only going to be able to get away with that for a few more years. It's not going to work anymore, but yeah. Did you know, seniors, did you know that the word retired is not in the Bible? You might retire from your job, your career, and I'll celebrate with you. But we never retire from Jesus. We never retire from God's plans for our lives. And I want you to know God has purpose in your senior years. Come on, you can only play so many rounds of golf, right? That's not going to cut it. When we retire, we should celebrate the fact that now we've got more time to serve the Lord. We've got more time to share the love of Jesus in different ways. Yes, and you can only fish for so many hours, believe me. Yeah, restored sense of purpose. So no matter what your age is this morning, I want you to know God has purpose in your life. Don't walk around as a senior thinking, oh, my best days are behind me. Yeah, life changes, and maybe you can't do some of the things that you used to do physically, but I want you to know as long as Jesus has you on planet Earth, there's a reason for it, and he's got a purpose for your life. Yeah, don't let the devil rob you of these years of your life. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, some of you here this morning, you feel like, well, I believe God had a purpose for me, but I made a mess of it. I made some mistakes along the way. I want you to know God is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. And no, none of us wants to mess it up. But the fact that we've messed things up doesn't mean God has forgotten about us and there's still purpose for your life. Amen? God is the redeemer of lives. He's the restorer. God wants to restore purpose in your life. And even the mistakes we have made in our past can serve the kingdom of God when we share with others who are going through the same things in life. You know, there are people that will listen to you that will never listen to me just because I'm a preacher. And they're thinking, you're a preacher. You don't understand my life. You don't get it, right? A lot of people think that. But I want you to know they'll listen to someone who's been there, done that. There's a purpose. There's a purpose. God redeems everything. He redeems everything. I'm going to ask everybody in this place to bow your heads with me and close your eyes. And I just want to pray for you right now. I want to pray for a renewed sense of vision and purpose in your life today. I believe this is a gift God wants to bring to you today. I believe hearts are going to be set free in this place this morning by God's purpose for your life. I want you to know today, no matter where life has taken you, what side trips you've taken, what mistakes you've made in your life, God wants to bring restoration. God wants to bring a sense of purpose to your life today. So how many of you would say, Tim, man, this message was for me today. I needed to be reminded that God has a purpose for my life. I need to be reminded today that the devil is a liar. I need to be reminded today that no matter what mistakes I've made in my past, my life isn't over. God has a plan and a purpose for my life. If that's you, would you raise your hand this morning? Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for every hand in this place. I believe right now that chains are being broken, lies are being exposed, that light is coming into dark places in our hearts. Lord, that you are renewing a sense of life, a sense of purpose, a sense of destiny to every person's life here. You're reminding people that their life is not an accident, that there's purpose. You're reminding people this morning that they are a masterpiece in your eyes, God. That the devil is a liar, telling them they've made too many mistakes, that they've blown it, that God can't use them. These are lies, and we declare your truth today, that there is a purpose, a plan, and a destiny for every person in this room. You can put your hands